Well, folks, take a look inside your gray so you can follow along. Today we're talking about holiness. We're in a sermon series called Committed to Jesus, Committed to Christ. And I want to welcome our live stream worshipers, our El Dorado Springs campus, and our podcasters today. You know, I tell you, for each one of us, we all make commitments every day. We do. We make commitments that we probably aren't even aware of. But we are constantly, as human beings, especially in our culture today, bombarded with signs and calls to be committed to different things. And so today I want to begin by talking a little bit about some of the commitments we may not realize that we make every day, and that some of the commitments that we've been either tricked into making or that we have kind of been forced into making, making a commitment to the world and not really so much Jesus. So a few things that we've probably seen over the years is we've been forced to choose sides. Now, some of us stay out of the fray, but a lot of times we are forced to choose sides. So I want to begin by sharing a couple of different ways in which I think that we have been forced as a culture and as a people to choose sides in our culture, okay? So we choose sides. How about this? Some of you will know this one. How about Friendster or MySpace versus Facebook, right? How many of you are on MySpace? Raise your hand. Anybody? A few? Very few, right? How many are on Facebook? You made your choice. Yes, good job. You actually chose wisely. Sadly for the folks who had Friendster, which you don't even know what that is, or MySpace, you failed. Here's a little bit older one. I'm trying to do generational stuff here. How about Beta versus VHS? What's a VHS? Nobody even knows anymore, right? I bet you all still have VHS tapes at home. You do, and you never watch them, do you? Yes, that's right. Because you got to keep them just in case the world ends. You got to go back and get those VHS tapes out. All right, so Beta versus VHS was a good one. Here's a rather new one, I guess, but it was illustrated through commercials. PC versus Mac, right? PC versus Mac. That's a big one. Few other ones, Samsung versus Apple. So, you know, the iPhone versus the Galaxy. I think Apple has won because Galaxy's phones are literally blowing up, right? They are catching on fire, okay? And that's not the Holy Spirit exploding. It was bad design of the battery. So, yeah. Oh, here's a good one. This was my favorite. Atari versus Commodore 64. Right? Right? That's way back. That's way back. That's true. That's a good one, right? Atari versus Commodore 64. Some of you don't even know what that means, although I've heard you can still buy some of those. PlayStation versus Xbox. And for those out there, I will throw this one in, and gaming PC. Okay, there you go. Verizon versus AT&T versus Sprint versus T-Mobile, whatever. Here's a big one. Coke versus Pepsi, right? You guys remember when that used to be a thing? That used to be a rivalry? Yes, Coke versus Pepsi. And in certain areas of our culture, in certain places you go, they only serve Coke products or they only serve Pepsi products, right? That's the big ones right there. Okay, how about this? Burger King versus McDonald's, right? Burger King versus McDonald's. No, neither, right? Yeah, Taco Bell, is that good? Yeah, yeah. McDonald's breakfast versus Taco Bell's breakfast. No, yuck, sorry. Now this one's really, I'm gonna get under your skin a little bit here. Chevy versus Ford, right? So somewhere along the way, you were conditioned, you were tricked, you were whatever to buy into something, right? You were. We all were. We all were conditioned that if I drove this car, I purchased this product, that I was smart, I knew what I was doing, and that I was beautiful, right? Yeah, that's right. You're good looking because you drive a Ford. Way to go. But every now and then, you buy into something that's a failure, right? We do. We buy into something we shouldn't have bought into, and it just crashes and burns, and we feel bad about ourselves for making a bad decision. Well, I will tell you this, that whenever you buy into things in this world, they will fail, they will rust, they will fall away. But when you buy into Jesus, when you follow Jesus, you believe in Jesus, he will not fail. He will not fail you. Here's a few things that have failed you over the years. I'm going to ask you guys to put on the screen the Ford Pinto. That failed you. Do I need to ask who drove one of these? A few of you. God bless you. You're still alive because I was told that if you run into the back of one of those things, they blow up. Did you know that? The way it was designed, if someone runs into the back of it, kaboom, bye Pinto. Right? Gone. Now, they redesigned it, but it was such a horrible, horrible thing that was going on with it, they just didn't sell very well. So that's a Ford. So for those of you who thought you were happy about Fords, now you're not. And now for the Chevy people, the Chevy Vega. What a beautiful car. How many of you drove one of those? How many of his parents tried to get you to drive one of those, and you said, I would rather stay at home than drive that car? Thank you, Dad. Yes. Awful, awful, awful. And this is one that I didn't know was bad, but as I was doing some research, the Pontiac Aztec. Right? Now, some of you might have owned this car. I don't know. I'm not going to even ask. But I heard this was the most hated car in the history of the United States. The people just do not like this car. So whether it be the Ford Pinto, the Chevy Vega, or this Pontiac Aztec, some big companies made some huge mistakes, and they paid for it, right? They paid for it. Now, think about the people who bought those vehicles. Think about the people who bought those vehicles who thought they were buying something awesome, and it turned out not to be. Think about your own life. How many times you've bought into something, you were excited about something, only to be horribly and terribly disappointed. That's the way of the world. It is. That is the way of the world. That's the way the world pulls you in, lie to you, trick you, get you to believe in things that aren't true, and then all of a sudden, pull the rug out from under you, and you feel like a failure. You feel beaten down. And yet, we know this, that in Jesus, we do not feel like a failure. In Jesus Christ, we are redeemed. We are saved. We receive the gift of eternal life, and our lives are forever changed. And we need to be focused more on Jesus than the world, because the way of the world is that. Failure, misery, struggle, and heartache. The way of Jesus is hope, love, compassion, kindness, and joy. I want to begin by saying this, that we need to set our hearts and minds on the things above. So when you set your heart and your mind on the things above, you have a completely different perspective than the rest of the world. Colossians 3, 1 through 2 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So it's about what we dwell on, what we focus on, what we pray about, what we think about. So what are you setting your heart on right now? Where is your heart focused? Where is your heart focused right now? Because that's what you're going to care about, and that's what you're going to love. So if your heart is focused on your job, making money, trying to figure out what's next in your life when it comes to that kind of stuff, you're not focused on the right things. If your heart is focused on, I don't know, maybe Black Friday or who's going to win the game today, maybe you're focused on the wrong things. I don't know. Maybe for some of you, your heart is focused on deer season and you just can't wait to get out there, right? Some of you have people who are excited about deer season and you do want them to get out there and away from you, right? Just get out there. But when your heart is focused on those kinds of things more than Jesus, your life suffers, your relationships suffer, and you're going to struggle. How about your mind? Where is our mind focused today? Where is our mind focused? Maybe our mind is focused on work. Maybe it's focused on family or school. Maybe you have a test coming up and you're worried about it. Maybe it's about a loved one who's not doing well. Maybe it's about a friend who's struggling, and so your mind is spinning. It's spinning, and you're struggling. Maybe you're worried about your bills. How are you going to pay your bills? How are you going to pay your mortgage? Maybe you're worried about some family members that are not doing so well with their health. Maybe you have loved ones or friends that are getting ready to enter into the hospital. And so our minds are drifting and wandering away from Jesus. We're told to set our hearts and our minds on the things above. But when we're worried, we're fearful, we're focused on the things of this world, it's very difficult to do that. Very difficult to do that. And when we are distracted and bombarded by signs and symbols of the world, we get lost in who we are and who we're called to be. And so you have to be ready to deal with these things every day. You have to be willing to fight against them. Listen to what 1 Peter says, 1:13 through 16. It says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed in his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it's written, be holy because I am holy. Holiness isn't about some overly pious life. It's not. Not some overly pious life where you judge others. No, holiness is about choosing to follow Jesus and rejecting the world. Not being swayed by the things of this world. Not being focused on the things of this world. You know, there are people who are stand in line for hours for the latest, greatest new product. Would they stand in line to go to church? Think about it. Some of us have the wrong priorities in our life, the wrong focus. So it says, don't conform to the evil desires of this world. So conform means that you've bought in. You're sold out. Whenever the newest product comes out, the newest thing, you're there. You're on top of that stuff. We need to reject those things in our life and say, you know what? I'm going to choose to live a different life. I'm going to walk away from all that stuff because I don't need that stuff in my life anymore. And to be able to do that, we need to know this, that holiness is a daily walk. Holiness is a daily walk. I mean, it is a daily fight sometimes to push against all that stuff. Matthew 7, 13 through 14 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Jesus tries to explain this to his disciples basically this way. The path of the world is easy, but it's full of misery and destruction and sadness. And when we chase after the stuff of this world, you will be disappointed. But the path to life, it's a narrow gate. It's a narrow path, and you have to walk it. And you have to walk it every day. There was an author named David Kinnaman who wrote a book called You Lost Me. It's basically an indictment of the church, of the things that we do wrong. Not the best book to read when you're a pastor, but it was basically his way of trying to explain to us where he thought the church was struggling. It's a great line, though. Great title of the book, right? You Lost Me. I mean, basically, he's saying that a lot of the things the church sometimes does is losing people because they're not focused on Jesus. They're not focused on loving their neighbor or sharing the good news. And so when the church gets off track and starts judging people and really being mean to people and trying to categorize people as non-members and members, all that stuff, not good and not healthy. But I like that line of you lost me. Because I'd like for us as Christians to say that to the culture, right? I want us to look at the culture. I want us to look at the world when it tries to pull us away from Jesus. And you say, you know what? I'm walking away. I'm walking away, world. You lost me. You lost me when you did this, or you did this, or you did this. Because there are so many times every day that we are bombarded with this, just signs and symbols and pushing us away from Jesus. We just need to reject that and say, you know what? You lost me. You completely lost me. I'm walking away from that. You know, this has been happening in our culture for quite some time, actually. You see shifts in how things are working and what things used to be popular and are no longer popular. People are changing their habits, changing their views of things. Next generation does it to the next generation where they go, you know what, not too excited about that. Not too excited about that. You lost us. You lost us. I didn't mention this car earlier, but how many of you drove a Saturn? Do you guys remember the Saturn, right? Some of you? It's a good car, right? It's a pretty good car, yeah. Different car company for a different kind of world, I think was one of their taglines. They just shut it down. They just got rid of it. It was a good car, they just got rid of it. People quit buying it. Wasn't anything wrong with it or anything terrible or bad. People just quit buying into it. This happens all the time, folks. This happens all the time where people would just say, you know what, just not into it anymore. And sadly, it happens with our faith. Somewhere along our life, we say, yeah, life's changed. I'm just not really into that anymore. And so we see that happen with some 20-somethings as they get into college and they struggle with their faith. They kind of turn things around and go, you know, I just don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure what to believe anymore. They've been challenged by the culture. They've been challenged by the world. Our response to that is prayer. We should pray for them. But not only that, we should realize that the world is a place where people can be swayed and pulled away from the church and pulled away from Christ. And if our example isn't faithful and true every day, we're going to influence folks in a negative way. It's a sad thing to see that happen because we see our family and friends going through that, don't we? They go through a tough time, a transition in their life, a difficulty. And sometimes they come back to church. They do. They'll come back to the church. They'll come back to their faith. Other times, They walk away and they blame the church for their problems. I'm sad about that. I think you should be sad about that too. The church shouldn't abandon people during their tough times, and we don't. A lot of people feel that way sometimes. But the church needs to be a church of grace and mercy and love for those who are struggling and those who are hurting. We should be with open arms and open doors welcoming people to a relationship with Jesus Christ, not putting up rules and regulations to keep people out. You know, every day we have to make choices. Choose what we're committed to. We do. Every day we make these commitments, we make these choices, and today I want us to choose a holy life. I want you to choose a holy life. Matthew 4, 18 through 20, we see Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he offers people a choice to a holy life. It says, as Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I'll send you out to fish for people, or I'll make you fishers of men. It says, at once they left their nets and followed him. Jesus calls us to a different kind of life, a life of holiness, a life away from the sins of this world, the misery, the sadness, and the struggle. Because once you're called away to this life in Jesus, you have a completely different perspective on the world. Your focus is completely different. Now, that doesn't mean you don't need to be out in the world engaging people in conversation, compassion, and love. What it means is you reject the evil in this world. You don't choose sides anymore with worldly debates. Now, this is really hard. Trust me, it is really hard. It is, because all of us have a tendency to want to choose sides in the worldly debate. Right? We do. We all want to choose sides, and guess what? What truly matters is not which side you choose in the world, but do you choose Jesus? Do you choose to follow and believe in Jesus? Because once you do that, you go tell the rest of the world that they've lost you. All that stuff's lost you, and you celebrate the life of Jesus every week and every day. You share the good news with everyone that you encounter. You know, even the church, the early church, had some controversies with signs and symbols. I don't know if you knew this or not, but as Jesus called these disciples to follow him, and they were fishermen, they were fishers of men, they were going out to fish for people, and one of the signs and symbols of the early church was a fish. It was a fish. Some of you know this, that this was a popular symbol. In fact, Christians sometimes had to send codes to each other because there were people that were after them, trying to kill them and destroy them and to crucify them because they were choosing to believe in Jesus. And so they would put signs and symbols on their clothing, on the ground, on doorposts so that people would know they were followers of Jesus Christ. And they used the symbol of the fish to do this. Now, the symbol of the fish is a great, great, great symbol. It really, truly is. There were some other symbols they used to try and communicate with each other. They chose to use a dove, to try and symbolize peace. That's who the church is. Another one was an anchor, because it kind of looked like a cross, but it didn't, but also we're anchored in Christ. Another one was a lamb. Another one was a shepherd, shepherd's crook, right? Those are some of the signs and symbols. But I have to say this. When it comes to making commitments in this world, when it comes to being committed to something, there are no signs and symbols more important in the life of the church than the cross. The cross is the ultimate symbol of commitment for the Christian church. And around 200-300 AD, the whole church agreed the cross is where it's at. They believed that the cross is the true symbol of Jesus Christ's commitment to us and to change the world. It's an act of sacrifice for each and every one of us that we all might be able to receive the gift of eternal life through his death and resurrection. There are churches all over this world that have crosses all over them. The cross has become the ultimate symbol of Christianity all over the world. And it's been that way for around 1,500 to 1,700 years, that a cross stands as a symbol of hope, a symbol of defiance against the world, and a symbol of salvation for those who are far from God. It bridges the gap for those who are lost and hurting, who have fallen to the ways of the world, that they still have hope, they still have a chance. I know for many of us, we've chosen to believe in other symbols. other commitments in our life more than Jesus. And I encourage you to reject all of those symbols, all of those signs, and follow Jesus. Choose to believe in Jesus and follow him today. Choose a life of holiness by rejecting the way of the world. I tell you, holiness is not some overly pious choice every day that we reject the world. No, holiness is a daily choice to choose to follow Jesus. In the face of controversy, adversity, and struggle in this world where people might judge you for believing in Jesus, you still believe in Jesus and follow him daily because it's a conscious, holy choice to do so. If you have not made that choice today, I would encourage you to do that, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and to believe in him, to choose to live a life of holiness, rejecting evil and anger and hatred in this world and offering up symbols of hope and of peace and of love and kindness, and knowing that on the cross, Jesus Christ offered himself the ultimate commitment to each and every human being, that if you choose to believe in him, you receive the gift of eternal life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, help each and every one of us. Help others to follow. Help our lives to be an example to our family and friends of faithfulness, of compassion, and of hope. Lord, there's lots of things in this world that we've chosen to commit to. There are. And some things we've put in front of you. Help us move our faith back to a place of joy and hope where we can reject those things and place you at the center. It's in Jesus Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.